Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, everyone. Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Katie Barrowman, Bob Charlton, Rin M, T. Risa, Madison Mason, Charlie Nygaard, Jürgen Leitner, Crix Kfritz, Andy Ewell, Henry Tudy, Ebony Daniels, Miss Natalie Catchpole, A Wild Son, Malediction, Alex, Dante Rowe, Katya, Eric Patterson and Lynn Coy, Harmony Mills, Ronnie Stewart. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Hello and welcome to the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. For one last time this week, I am your host and GM, Bryn Monroe, and with me I have
Ben Meredith,
Alex Newell,
Helen Gould,
and Lurie Davis.
That's right, Lurie is still with us. We've got the, presumably, unless things go very, very wrong, final part of our one-shot adventure, Four Thought.
Which is a good title because there's four of us.
It's a pun I'm still
quite
proud of.
But it's also a pun. It's excellent. Yeah. I love it.
I considered lots of other words that started with four as puns to title.
Foreshadow would be good.
Yeah. No, forethought, I am. Yeah. I am there with you.
Fine.
I like foreshadow, because we're shadows in the head.
Yeah, exactly.
And as we have started each of the previous three episodes with a little character introduction, I'd like to start our final episode with a little introduction to
the worst
Ben's character, who he has still refused to name.
And yet, most powerful so far, which is very annoying.
Very annoying.
So, I grew up in this city.
Oh.
No, sorry. I grew up in this city, which in my time, when we knew the names of things, was known as High Ravening. I always wanted power, and so I took it. I built my cult, slowly, carefully, so I wouldn't get caught. I improved my magical power until I was one of the foremost wizards in the city. And then, I heard about some possible items which might be able to help me attain immortality. So I did research. I sent my cultists out far and wide, and we heard tell of a jewel in the tomb of a forgotten hero, which I raided. A necklace sunk under the sea in the city that it failed to save. So I went under there and took it. And then, using my mastery of the arcane arts, I created a beautiful artifact, a phylactery, if you will, that I bound myself to. Obviously, one of my assistants had screwed something up because it didn't go quite as planned. I don't remember the day I died, but then when I woke up, I was here, saddled with three idiots running around the city which had forgotten its name.
DuckTales!
What I want to do is steal the book Rogers in the 25th Century thing. So it's like, and now I'm here. Excellent.
And we're going to pick up our adventure where we left off. So in episode one, we escaped the jail that we had begun in. In episode two and three, we went back to the museum and managed to re-steal the necklace that is the MacGuffin at the centre of the plot. We almost managed to re-steal the special ancient sword belonged to...
We did steal it, then someone unstole it.
That's more or less what happened.
I gave it back as a moral citizen.
No, you didn't. You were in a fit of pique.
And right at the end of the last episode, we realised that the collar is not doing exactly what it should, because although it is the correct item, the jewel that once sat at the centre of it has been replaced with an inadequate substitute. Mm. And therefore it's not doing what it should, and it still means that Ariane's life hangs by a somewhat precarious thread. I believe Ariane is currently in control of the body, though. So, we've successfully escaped the museum.
Yes. So, maybe the person who got you to steal it has the jewel. It's either that person or the person who arrested you.
Or it's been stuck into the imperial crown as some sort of bauble of empire.
Disgusting.
Well, I never actually met the person.
Why would an imperial leader need to steal their own jewels?
Because they're not their jewels.
They are the leader.
But it's your jewel.
I'm dead, as are
they
he.
They stole it from me. They destroyed the beautiful artifact that I created, leaving
you
it in a half-made.
You stole my necklace anyway.
Okay.
Your necklace wasn't doing anything. It's sitting in a sandbank on
where
the bottom of the ocean.
Where it came from doesn't matter. We need to find it now. I don't know why, but something's telling me maybe we need to break into the palace.
Some of your rogue's intuition.
Yes, that famous rogue intuition.
That seems like a very dangerous thing to do.
It seems like the kind of thing that we should probably rest up, since I have used a lot of my magics to get us this necklace, and, well, without it, we're all screwed.
And my body could do with some healing as well, so maybe we could go to one of my hidey holes.
Our body, please.
No, her body.
My body.
Our body now. You've got to get used to it.
I'm just going to walk us to one of my resting places.
Yeah, one of your backup ones. You felt in one episode you decided your main one was too risky to go back to.
Yes. This one's just a blanket and a Mars bar under a bridge.
pretty much,
inadequate.
Okay, yeah, that seems sensible.
Mm. Okay.
So you will, in order to cast any spells, you will of course have to turn over control of your body to the person who wants to cast the spells. So are you willing to let Femi inhabit the body to do the healing?
Oh, for healing. I see what you're saying. Oh, I could just heal by sleeping if we're going to sleep.
How much do you
long rest gives
long
you a
long rest, you get all of your hit dice back on standard fifth ed.
You can just spend all of your hit dice. Everyone gets a long rest, regenerates all their everythings. You wake up in the morning.
Hey!
All of you are still in the same predicament. Can everyone make me a charisma-based perception check?
Whoa. See how dead you look.
Four.
You notice that your soup's
natural
charming.
Natural 20.
Now. 22.
14.
Because I rolled a 19 and have a plus three.
Nice. Okay, Alex and Lowry, both of you, now that you're wearing the collar and the necklace, you've taken out the fake jewel.
Mm.
And you feel, you're attuned to the necklace and you can feel the emptiness at the centre of it. And there's this tiny little tug on it, pulling you in a certain direction.
That's very nice.
Is it vertically upwards towards the sun?
No.
Oh, wicked. This is a solvable situation.
The two of you can sense it. Helen, you feel the emptiness because you rolled a 14, but you don't feel the tug in the same way. Ben, you feel nothing, you monster.
you've been dead to the world.
Well, I know it's broken, so it feels broken, obviously.
Do we have any... I say we, I have no, I barely understand what a city is. Do you have any idea where it's tugging towards?
Well, yes, I probably would, I suppose. Or...
So, are we off to the palace?
Yeah.
It is not tugging in the direction of the palace. Mm. The palace is to the west of you right now, and it's dragging you more northwards.
Is it like an irresistible drag? Or is
No. It's just you can feel that little... You're starting to feel the bond with this item. It's an incredibly powerful magical item.
Thank you.
Except there's this hole in it, but there's a tug specifically connected to that emptiness. You can. Yeah. It's almost like, I don't know how to describe it. It's
do you
magic,
feel the
you know?
Geas?
Pardon?
The Geas. Can you feel it?
What's the what? Geas?
Have all of you forgotten the faces of your ancestors? The Geas, can you feel it?
What's a Geas?
Are you talking about a geese?
You should follow it.
Am I the only one
that can feel this?
Oh, do you mean the tug? Yes, of course I can feel the
There's
tug.
There's a tug?
The tug.
You can't feel the tug?
The Geas.
No.
A what?
A Geas.
The necklace is
the call of the
to
fates towards your ultimate victory.
Oh!
Right.
Geas.
It's a Geas.
A geese.
It's a Geas.
It's a Geas.
It's a tug.
I invented the word. It's a Geas.
You invented a word. You couldn't even invent how to sit down.
Follow it. Ignore them. Follow it.
Why would I listen to someone who can't even feel a Geas?
I don't need to feel a geese. I am my own geese.
And that is why you fail.
It leads you through the city.
Mm-hmm.
It leads you through the merchant district and beyond it. It leads you to the temple district.
The gods!
Ugh, temples.
Yes!
That makes sense.
I can help you here.
It's leading in a straight line, and it's a bit weird, because you can't always move in a straight line.
Your geas is a far more straightforward
than mine. As you get into the temple district, you feel it. It's no longer quite so easy to follow either. It's starting to pull slightly upwards as well, which is making it slightly harder to work out which direction. But you eventually are able, it takes you most of the morning. You narrow it down to a particular temple.
I would climb to the roofs to move around as well.
It's more difficult to do that in the temple district.
Okay.
But you can do it.
Okay.
Like, I'm not going to make you roll for it. Like, if you're taking 10, yes, you can do it. The temples are less regular than most of the rest of the city, but it's an area you've explored before, and you can move around on the rooftops. And, okay, so at that point, yeah, that tug is less upwards, as you might imagine. The temple it finally leads you to, you have to sort of triangle it a bit, is the goddess of knowledge and the goddess of history.
Yes! Oh, these are great.
The goddess of narrow-mindedness, more like.
That's the exact opposite of what
knowledge
is.
No, it's not. So no, there's only a certain kind of knowledge that works for this goddess.
Benny, is this your kind of thing?
Well, no, it's my kind of thing. I don't think this is my goddess's, but...
Your gods are dead and buried beneath the waves.
Gods don't die!
Yes, they do.
You had a different set of gods
where
you came from. This is probably pretty close to the one... But it's not the same gods.
No.
I know gods die.
No civilization needs this many gods.
Why? How many do
you
have?
Yes, on something we can agree. No gods.
That's not what I said.
Only me.
Oh, yes. Your hubris is... tell you what, let's go.
It's only hubris if you're not powerful enough.
You aren't
powerful
enough.
This is just ambition.
So are there any details about the...
You've never been to this temple before.
Yeah.
You know that it's, unlike a lot of the other temples, they rarely have stuff worth stealing. As far as you're aware, inside is mostly books.
Yeah.
And not ones that people want to steal. I mean, once or twice, people have asked you to steal books, but not these books.
Yeah. Is the necklace kind of taking us as if it wants to go into the building?
Yeah, you can do a complete loop of the building. Mm. You can do it on the ground level, you can do it on roof level.
Yeah.
You can pretty much triangulate. The pull is to somewhere on the top floor of
I'm
this
calling
temple.
It here, the big bad evil guy is Quasimodo.
So my proposal is that we go back up onto the roof and climb into a window on the first floor, whichever.
Perfect.
There's only two floors. There's a ground floor and a first
into
floor.
Into the first floor.
And the ground floor is quite large, as a lot of the temples are. The second floor is, large. Yeah. So it's about the height of a three-story building, even though it's only got two.
I'm real stealthy, and I haven't been using that so far, so can I use my stealth?
Okay.
Or do I need to?
If your gods are worthy, they'll recognise your need.
These are not my gods. I have no gods.
That could
Look
be a problem.
My gods.
Okay. Yes,
so,
no gods.
You,
you don't need gods, just your own.
You can get onto the roof of this temple.
Mm.
It's not easy, but you have to take a little time, but I'm going to say I'm not going to make you roll for that. You can get onto the roof of this temple. If you want to climb down to a window, that is going to be a roll. And we're still in the daytime right now, and there are still probably people in the streets below.
I have been
who might see you, but you can move around the rooftops relatively safely.
I have been thinking.
Oh, this is never good.
No, I've worked out some modifications to the invisibility spell where I believe that I can cast it and then relinquish control. It's needed some slight mental gymnastics to work, some slight recalibrations and recalculations, but overnight I think I've worked out the best way to do it.
I'm impressed. Normally you only manage moral gymnastics.
I'm not going to dignify that with a response.
What a pleasant change.
I enjoyed that.
You can do it by yourself. Just get in there.
What? I would literally make you invisible so you can sneak in broad daylight and then give you control back. That's the whole point of everything that I've just said. Otherwise, I'd have just taken control, been invisible and walked in.
We should challenge the Holy Men's champion to single combat. Oh,
no.
Okay, we're not
going
to do that. We're not going to completely say no to that because that might... It might come to that, but...
If they're honourable, they will concede the job.
How can you do that without your holy sword?
Okay, I was about to give you...
A hero is not defined by their weapon. A hero is defined by their skill.
And their stupidity. You're
for someone
well
who is
defined.
So obsessed with their trinket, I would have thought you would have learned the problems that such obsession
My
would bring.
Trinket is the only thing that will keep us alive. Anyway, do you want to be invisible or not?
Yes.
Right, thank
Take
you.
Take control. Make us invisible.
I make you invisible and give back control. See?
Oh, wicked!
Right, now sneak on over. Just don't cast any spells. Can you?
No.
Then we've got no problem. Don't stab anyone. That'll break the spell.
I could stab anyway.
You could stab me, then you'd be stabbing you. That's
yes,
a really bad
yes,
threat.
Yes, I know.
Ultimately, it may come to that.
Oh. I agree.
See? This one just...
Just get in there.
I'm going in.
If you give him control...
Good.
Please roll me an athletics check.
Ironically, if he gave me control and I tried to hurt myself, my barbarian stuff would kick in and I would actually be worse at hurting myself.
Try not
than
to roll on the lumpy surface of the fan. Yeah. Try rolling on the table.
19.
Ooh.
Without a problem, you climb down to the window.
Leaping buildings in a single bound.
You look through the window.
Mm.
So the top floor of the temple is clearly a sacred space. The floor is a mosaic. And there's an altar at one end, and the mosaic is in sparkling condition. There's a spiral staircase at one end of the room, and that wall is quite plain. Around the other three walls, there's a window in this wall and in the opposite wall, but like it's built around it. There is a diorama. It is constructed out of silver. It looks impressive, it's shining, and it's not been coloured, but the mosaic and the diorama are telling a story, and they're telling a story of the goddess guiding humanity through the ages of civilization.
Oh, I love stories.
There are... So the metalwork on this diorama is incredibly complicated. It looks like it would have taken, some... pretty impressive work to put it all together, and there are various gems of various different sizes and qualities and colours built into it at strategic points. There is a priest cleaning the altar, it looks like, and maybe also preparing it. They're wiping it down, setting stuff up on it.
Do any of the gems look familiar?
You can feel the pull, but I think without further study, you probably can't work out which gem. It's clearly going to be one of the gems. That's not hard to work out.
What about myself or Alex, given that we've
seen the gem before?
Yeah.
Give me a...
I spent a lot of time with that gem.
Yeah, perception or investigation.
With advantage, are you sure, Bryn?
No.
This is the perfect time to give him advantage.
You don't have a very good perspective.
14.
14.
You can't tell. It's one of these gems, but... You need to get inside the room and have time to actually look at them. And given that they're woven into this metalwork, it's just not obvious, basically. Are you going to climb in the window?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're invisible.
You're still invisible.
And very stealthy.
Yeah. Roll the stealth check. Obviously.
Roll the stealth check.
Uh-oh.
Better.
It's fine. It's fine.
A 2, so it's 11.
That's probably still fine because we're invisible.
Yeah. Priest doesn't seem to notice anything out of the ordinary.
Wow. Just going to look around for the gem.
Okay, give me a investigation roll.
Everyone?
Anyone can do this.
Okay. 23.
22.
Oh, natural 20 again.
Natural 1, it's definitely that one. I'd recognise it anywhere.
It's literally like the most important thing in your life, and you'd be like,
Saren, that's a mop. So that is the gem!
It's a red one. It's a red one.
With a bit more time and slightly better perspective on the room, you are... all able to identify the correct gem.
I didn't realise there was more than one gem in the world.
Aww.
Yeah,
where is
you
could,
it? It is built into the diorama. It's not in a particularly significant position. It's not like at the centre of it. It's just one of the gems. It's, you know, it's representing one of the goddess's eyes in a particular scene within the diorama.
Will the priest notice if we...
You're looking at it. You roll pretty well in your investigation check.
Yeah.
It's quite carefully built in. It's not going to just pop out. Like, this is a really complex, intricate piece of metalwork. You would have to prize it out. And now, with a close-up look and a bit and the investigation check, you realise that it might be possible for a lot of this metalwork to move. And so, even prizing it out, you're not sure exactly what you might do to the rest of the.
Pretend to be the spirit of his ancestors and demand that he hand you that gem.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Well,
just go and take it.
I can create a distraction if we need to and get them out of this room.
I can create a distraction too.
Fine.
As many times as you want.
I
can make the lights go out. Or I can make a noise somewhere else. Or I can hold the priest. Or I could do so many things to help
us. Wait, hang on. I could just get the priest to do it with magic.
Don't do that. That's mind control. It's bad and immoral.
No, it's mind control and it's great and useful.
Don't listen.
If you refuse to share the truth with them, they're a holy man. They're not exactly a worthy foe. I feel like all of your solutions are slightly overwrought for what is ultimately someone who avoids hard labour.
What, kill him?
That's not what I said.
It's what you were leading to.
Right, I think, shall we try distraction?
Yes. Yes.
Distraction and extraction.
Fine, but can we have an agreement, which if the distraction does not work, you will give me control so that I can control their mind?
No.
Don't give them any kind of agreement.
What? Do you control our minds?
What, my own mind? This is, we share minds.
Okay.
I could try, but then we might get into some sort of horrible feedback loop. It would be
if
very dangerous.
If he could control himself, he wouldn't be in this situation.
Yes, that's a really good point.
See, that sounded profound, but was absolute nonsense.
No, but it's actually very correct, because if you could control your unlimited lust for power, then none of this would have happened.
I'm sorry. I seem to remember that you two managed to bind yourselves to this item accidentally beforehand, so...
You presume that?
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Maybe I intended this all along. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, you said that in the way that you absolutely didn't, did you?
Yes, well, give me control. Let me...
A second person enters the room.
Uh-oh.
Sick.
Who's this?
He walks into the room.
I could put them all to sleep.
Ben.
Yes.
You recognise him.
Oh.
Ooh.
Last time you saw this person, he was in his early 20s.
Mine occultist.
He was one of your acolytes.
Yes!
He looks like he's in his early 60s, maybe. He walks in and he starts scanning the walls. And you can see him notice the same gem that you've all picked out.
That's one of my previous acolytes.
His name is Shendu.
Finally, a worthy adversary.
No, Shendu can help us.
Give me control and we can end this.
To the priest and starts making small talk.
Right, they're both distracted.
Let's
just take it
now. Let's go, let's go.
Everyone roll insight.
Natural 20.
See, it was the wrong dice. I told you. I swap your dice for you. Immediately fix the problem.
Incorrect.
I'm a believer.
Natural 1. This is going in the bad pile too.
11.
Goodness sake, give me that die.
Nope.
10.
Ariane, you're the only one who realises what's about to happen. Everyone else is saying, grab it now.
No, I'm saying kill the acolyte, but that's fine.
You don't get much of a warning. Shendu pulls out a dagger.
Yes, perfect.
The dagger pulses with, like, a very dark purple light. And he plunges it into the priest.
Excellent.
Oh,
he's working for us.
See, he's evil.
I need that gem.
And we roll initiative.
Ooh.
Don't know why we're rolling.
Wait, what? Yeah, sorry. We all just rolled because it's like...
Yeah, sorry, that's my bad.
I said
we roll initiative.
I'm rolling to see
who's
how
in control
impatient
of the body right now?
Tis I.
Ariane.
Yeah.
Ariane rolls initiative.
I'm rolling to see how impatient I get with you.
I got a 22.
Oh, you're going to be real impatient.
I got an 18.
14.
I'm like a landslide. I take a while to get going and then I hit hard.
The priest collapses.
Oh, no.
Here's how daggers work.
It's still sad.
And it's your action.
Kill the acolyte.
Yeah. Yes, actually kill him. I mean, Shendu's fine,
I've got my sword. I'm gonna kill him.
He's a worthy foe who chose his horse.
You make an attack. You roll with advantage because he's unaware of you, but this will break your invisibility.
Oh.
No, that's probably okay.
10.
No, it's not. 10 plus proficiency plus dex.
16.
You hit him. Roll damage.
Oh, it's the beautiful way.
Oh, they failed you. I'm so sorry.
One.
Yeah, you add your dex to the damage as well.
Cool, so that's four.
Four. Four damage.
Yeah, it's
your invisibility drops. Yeah. Shendu steps back. He's like, And then he chuckles. Oh. You're wearing my necklace, little thief.
He's going to monologue at you. Swap, and I'll kill him.
And we'll take a break there.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And we're back. Shendu's action.
Oh no.
Shendu casts...
Surrender.
Darkness.
Ah, good spell. A fine spell.
The room is covered in a milky blackness. You can't see.
Right.
It's your action.
I can cast light.
I can cast dispel magic.
We're both at an advantage. Like, we're on the same disadvantage. None of us can see. So... Sauron, take the lead.
What? So you give it to the one
Why?
Person who can't...
He is the fighter!
He can't see!
One of us should cast light or dispel magic.
We've had our 6 seconds. Yeah. We have to make a choice. And if she tries to give... I'm going to try and get involved. I don't know if you... I'm going to try and seize control at the same time.
So you can, but bear in mind... So I just clarified off tape. Exchanging control with consent is a bonus action. Seizing control is a standard action. So if you take that, that's fine.
We've used our bonus and our main action.
You've used your standard action.
Oh, that's
round.
Fine. I mean, we've basically wasted our action anyway, so...
Okay, so... Because a control exchange is going to happen, I'm going to let you get involved and use up the body's standard action.
Sod it. We'll let it go wrong, okay. And then.
Okay. Control is exchanged. Sauron.
Oh look, he can't see.
Metagame.
The man's not wrong.
In character. I'd like to scream and immediately enter a rage because that's my solution to all my problems, because the world is a complicated place until you get angry. Yep. And then it just becomes red and very easy to fix. At which point, I would then like to...
Is entering a rage a bonus action?
That's a fine question. Yes, it is.
You could use your standard to enter a rage.
I will do that for the simple reason that us being raging and resistant to a whole mess of damage and the fact that it carries on even if I'm not in control is a heck of a good choice.
To be honest, that's actually worthwhile. We just let him rage and then we're like, brilliant, we're all now...
I will decide! Wait, what?
We're massively damage-resistant spellcasters. It's almost like this breaks the game.
Stop using my class features! Never mind!
Yeah, I will use my main action to rage because the resistance is far too useful to pass up.
So you start raging.
No, in fairness, it would be something far more eloquent along the lines of, I, Sauron! Jonsson Bunsen!
Stop telling him where we are!
I choose you!
You can still hear the chuckle from the darkness.
He's got a good chuckle, I'll give him that. He's learned well.
What's your AC?
So my AC, if I wasn't wearing all this armour, would be 15. Instead, it is down to 14. Armour getting in the way of all my AC.
You feel, you can't see, a dagger plunge into you.
Ow. Poop.
Told you.
This is terrible. We need to...
I really, really wouldn't worry.
You take 5 damage. 5 piercing damage.
No, you don't.
But it is reduced.
Resistance.
To 2.
Yep. As you feel the dagger stab into you. And you then feel fire start to burst out from the wound. And you take an additional... Uh-oh. 12 damage.
No, you don't! 6. Resistance!
It's reduced to 6.
37.
Class features, doing their thing!
Your action.
Give me control, I can dispel the darkness.
Or give me control and I can...
Sauron, you are currently in control.
Alex didn't think he'd still have control. He thinks someone would have nicked it by this point. So he's
literally not mechanically able.
Yeah, but you know, a handful of forehead. Saren's going to do what Saren knows best. He's going to try and pick up the diorama because it's big and heavy and hit the guy with it that he can't see.
At this point, if his intention is obviously not giving control, I try and wrest control.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine.
That's fair. He's starting to stumble in the direction of where he thinks the wall is, and you are able to make an attempt to seize control.
Is anybody helping or hindering this?
I'll help you.
No. Okay. I am going to resist because it's you, but I want you to know as a player, please take control from me, Ben. Please.
So 24.
Oh, horrendous. Like garbage. Just hot garbage.
No. Okay. Ben, you're in control. You have a bonus action.
My bonus action is going to be... do I have a move action?
Yes. You've got most of a move action.
I will retreat backwards out of range of the knife. I assume Shendu has a way to see in the darkness, which is why I cast it. But it forces him to use his, you know, move action. That's it. I've got to wait.
Yeah.
If you're going to take control, take control!
I did, and you wasted our time.
He still has advantage because he can see and you can't. Ooh.
But he completely ballses it up.
What's your AC? Oh,
it's whatever is on.
14. Yeah.
You feel a blast of magic. You can't see, so you can't tell exactly what spell it is. Impact just next to your head.
Okay. Is it my go?
Your turn.
Anyone letting... am I...
Oh, go for it.
Wrong, Shendu. Dispel magic. The necklace is mine.
The darkness is dispelled. You see Shendu, and he looks surprised, and his eyes narrow. And he goes, I've learnt a lot since last we met. And he casts Mind Spike.
Sure. Oh, this is cool. This will teach me what this does.
Do you have it?
I've got it. I just don't know what it does.
Please Mind Spike is right
back. Please make a wisdom saving throw.
Sure. Ha! If his DC is anything like mine, 17 beats my DC of 15.
Fine.
Yes! We're similarly powerful spellcasters.
Oh, God. But we've got rage!
We do. This is definitely going to be psychic damage, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Not a very good roll, though. You take 6.
That hurt way more than I thought it would.
God, they're going to do an evil person monologue.
So is it 4d8, but then halved if you pass your wisdom saving throw?
Yeah, basically.
Cool, brilliant. Anything you can do, I can do better, Shendu. I cast Mind Spike.
He can do anything better than him.
What? I don't
get it. It's an old saying in my country.
Oh.
See, evil, by the way. Clearly evil if he taught this guy.
He also passes his will save.
Bah.
I've never heard someone say bah out loud.
Bah. This is just turning into...
Oh, actually, that was better than his. 6 damage. Wait, that was the same as his? Because of the rounding.
Oh my God, it's going to be a slap fight.
Greatest wizard who ever lived.
I'm at lesser power because you are sapping all of my energies.
I'm sorry we're interfering with your prisons.
Yes, you should be. Because you are.
He casts Mind Spike back at you.
What is happening?
I can see. If you let me hit him, he'll die.
Yeah, he should get back to the fighter now.
Make a wisdom save again.
Still 15. So if it's the same DC, I hit it.
Stop rolling garbage.
That's real bad.
You take 7 damage this time.
Okay, so I am going to give you the thing as a bonus action. But I just want to make sure there's nothing that I can cast as
By
like
the thing, do you mean the body?
The body, yes. Oh. Yeah, I'll move up to him and do Vampiric Touch.
Nice.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, no, we get some cheeky healing in and then I pass over to the Vita.
Yep.
Oh!
You will have to make a spell attack.
But can we phrase it as Vampiric Punch, please?
No. I caress him gently.
Stop trying to gloat and hurt at the same time.
After his 2 mind spikes failed so dismally, he says, clearly I didn't have as good a teacher as I thought I did.
Do you think that was accidental, Shendu?
Tell him you taught him everything that he knows, not everything that you know.
No.
Just make an attack, an unarmed attack, effectively.
Okay. 22.
You deal 3d6 damage.
Thank you.
I do love it that when you roll so high, we don't have to do the maths.
Yeah. 9.
You heal 9 damage.
You deal 9 damage. So we're doing better.
Oh, it's a 1-to-1 ratio.
Yeah.
Nice.
Also, we
have. Oh, no, sorry. You get hit points back equal to half.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
rounding down or up?
Down.
You've tried to hold me down before. You won't succeed this time.
No, but my friend will, and I give him control.
A dagger plunges into you.
A dagger tries to plunge into me.
It plunges into me.
It only plunges if it deals damage, and good damage at that.
17.
I think you'll find...
That is halved, yes.
8. We're currently on 20 hit points. 20 hit points, that's 20 hit points.
You can feel the burning is throughout your body now. The dagger blade was poisoned, and it's nasty, but your rage is helping a lot.
So we have a problem, which is that we currently don't have a drawn weapon, and unless I'm mistaken, drawing a weapon provokes an attack of opportunity.
No, the sword is still in your hand.
Oh, we have it in our hand.
Yeah. I was just holding it, being like, I don't need this. Yeah, wizard fight.
I am going to do what I do best, which is a reckless attack, regardless of whether it's tactically optimal, which gives me advantage. How many attacks do I have, given that we're level 6?
I don't believe you get a second attack unless you're dual wielding.
Boom.
Pick up the diorama in your hand.
I think it's at level 7 you get your second attack. When I made these characters, I was quite careful.
So actually, you hit better than me, but I can still do more damage. Because I threw away your good sword.
Yeah. Yep, you did.
21?
Yes, that hits.
I don't know.
He's a wizard. Well, maybe a warlock.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, so it's a hit. Turns out it's real complicated when you're sharing character sheets, sort of. It makes my brain go wrong. Okay, so for damage, it's a +2 melee damage if I use strength instead.
Okay. So that's better.
So, I'd rather have a +4 total than a +3, So I will roll... Terribly. That's a grand total of 6 damage.
Ugh, we are going to lose this slugfest.
Yeah, we are.
Quick thing. Apart from the rolling with advantage, I do more damage, I think, because I roll 2d8. Unless you guys have something very damaging.
I'm a sword. And dodgy.
Yeah, in the nicest way possible.
Don't
As
give me Saren, my body
I
back.
Will keep trying to punch a thing, but yeah, absolutely. What you should use me for is a shield.
Yeah.
I am a shield to not do anything.
Shendu
else.
Backs off because he's like, oh, this person knows how to use a sword. I wasn't expecting that. And he casts Eldritch Blast at you. Eldritch Blast hits you straight in the face.
Yeah, Eldritch Blast does that.
And you take 13 damage.
Nope.
Halved.
If you want me to heal, I can quickly heal and then give it back to whoever...
Your action. Think.
Give it to me, I'll kill him with Chill Touch.
We haven't got time to heal, I don't think.
I give it to you.
Right.
Snap decisions are the best decisions.
No!
Wrong choice, Warlock.
That was actually a really bad roll.
Wrong choice, buddy.
It's a 12. It's just the D20 said no.
You miss. A ghostly hand streaks out, but Shendu dodges out of the way and says, you've laid hands on me for the last time. Oh, also, Shendu knows your real name. What is it?
It's Brian.
Brian. he says Brian like it's a swear word.
Ah, how dare you?
And misses completely with the Eldritch Blast. Like, it goes, it somehow manages to end up on the ceiling, and you feel the whole diorama around the room shake a bit.
So, do not evoke my mortal name, fool, it is cursed.
So I'm gonna go ahead and say that let's reframe this narrative from pew, missed, pew, missed, pew, missed, to the Matrix lobby scene where there's a billion bullets flying, but everyone's too awesome to get
Sounds
in.
Sounds good, yeah.
Okay, so I'm rolling a lot. So I'll shake the table. Just try and chill touch him again.
Oh, either kill or heal. There's no point giving it to me and in the nicest way possible.
No point giving it back to me.
Yes, that's a 19. Oh, 26. Yeah, right, 2d8.
Better.
Don't roll like a garbage person. I actually rolled kind of okay, 10.
Better.
He dies.
Yes! Suck it, Shendu! Idiot! Turd!
Get the gem!
Right, gem time!
I'm not going to do it because it'll interfere with people, but I just proceed to do an extended monologue of how this was an excellent holy victory, blah, 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 blah. It's like, it will go on and on until someone says stop and no one wants to hear that.
As he's dying, he manages to choke out,
I'll never follow you again!
Now shut up, kick him in the face.
Brian!
No!
Stamp on his neck. Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up!
Ryan, huh?
That is my mortal name. I am no longer mortal.
Ancestors will echo down the ages.
All right.
For we and our forces have crushed you as we would crush the locust beneath our boot.
Ooh, Saren loves a bit of murder, doesn't he?
Right. That's what he's made for.
I'm feeling spicy, so I magic missile the diorama and blow the gem out.
You cast magic missile. It impacts harmlessly against the diorama. The diorama shakes, and you can feel the whole thing, like, it's very, very tightly interconnected. But the magic itself didn't seem to harm it.
Oh, no
this
fair.
Is what you...
Roll Arcana, anyone who has it?
Yeah.
15.
12.
It's made of mithril silver, and it's somehow hardened against magic.
Oh, anti-magical blooming diorama. Fine.
God,
do it the old-fashioned way.
Yes.
Thief,
yes,
this is your kind of thing.
Maybe first you should heal us.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
I'll
yes.
pass to you.
Okay.
Fix us that we might smash some more!
So I'm going to do the cast it a second level thing so we get 2d8.
Could cast it at a third if you want to.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, so that's it's, 3D8. You'll get 3d8 plus, I think it's 3 hit points back.
Okay. Oh, wish me luck. Hopefully I won't get all ones.
That's Ooh. Fine. That's, yeah.
So that is 15 plus 3 is 18.
Good. So 18 hit points back.
We're on 32.
Feeling fine.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Right.
Let's keep going.
All right, Femi, give it to me and I'll see if I can get this stone out.
Smash it!
You see, okay. This is what we can achieve when you work together.
All right, Brian.
That genie's not going back in the bottle, is it? Fine, Brian.
Roll investigation.
The natural ones continue.
Hey, investigation.
I got a natural 20.
Roll with advantage.
All of my investigation checks have been natural 20s.
All of mine have been natural ones, I think.
Scans.
22.
Okay.
And middling 16.
Okay, so the two of you who rolled well. So, as I said, this diorama...
16's fine.
Didn't roll well enough. Yeah, the two of you who rolled very well. The diorama is complex, it's interwoven, and you realise it's actually built into the very fabric of the walls. And you basically, you need to dismantle it, at least partially, in order to take the gem out without risking the whole thing falling on top of you. Now, this thing is... It's built as a religious scene, and so to dismantle it, you will require some mechanical expertise, which you have, but you're also going to need people to contribute in terms of working out which bits of the whole thing are important in order to know where to sort of start to affect it without... Do you see what I mean?
So we need some kind of religious expert?
Yes. So
It's almost like we all have different knowledge bases that we can draw upon in order to solve this... puzzle.
Ooh.
It's gonna require a successful religion check, a successful arcana check, a successful history check.
I think all of those are you.
And then a mechanical check.
Oh, I was gonna say actually, yeah, it's surprising. Okay, so I can take the arcana check.
Okay.
Helen can take the religion check. You've got the mechanical check.
Yeah.
And if you fail.
Oh, nice. How lovely.
I can pick up a pew.
Yeah, it's almost like you planned it.
Oh, and Helen can take the historically.
So I actually expected you in the fight to basically for it to be more of a Helen buffs you up and then Alex jumps in and smacks someone around. Because if Helen casts spiritual weapon and you activate bark skin, you're suddenly a tank.
Oh. Mm. See, that assumes we know the system.
Or communicate in any way.
The way you did it works just fine.
This is the Which second
is,
time.
I half expected you to have Alex's sword, of course.
Oh, yeah, no, that makes sense.
I full expected to have my sword.
So that is an arcana check of 20.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you need a religion and a history. You have both.
I do. So religion is 18.
Yep, that's sufficient.
And... history is 19.
Cool.
Yay!
So the two of you have to work together with Lowry guiding you through the process because Lowry's the one who understands... Ariane is the one who understands how to take it apart, but she has to be guided to the right points in this construction by the two of you. So it actually does require the three of you to all work together.
I choose to continue monologuing in my internal rage about how I will bring the temple of these false new gods down upon this cursed item.
Okay, so you managed to essentially disable some of the connections within this woven metal structure, and you loosen it just enough that you should be able to extract the correct gem while keeping the rest in place.
Okay.
So give me the final check. So this is a thief tools check.
So that's 19.
That is sufficient.
Hey! What a team.
You extract the gem, and as you pull it out of this magically resistant metal structure, you feel it start to glow in your hand.
Put it in. Put it in.
Smash it.
Yes,
put
it.
Destroy
it. Don't destroy it.
I'm going to put it in the necklace. We just worked really well together.
Yeah.
You place the gem in the necklace. It clicks into place, and you can suddenly feel the energy, the life force being exchanged between you and the necklace. And that there's that the glow and that burning sensations from your veins of the poison starts to fade. And you feel... It's not an entirely pleasant feeling because you're both giving it energy and receiving energy back from it. It's a cycle. And you feel yourself begin to bind to it closer and closer.
Hang on, guys. If Chernobyl's taught me anything, it's that kind of feedback loop gets very bad very quickly.
You feel that weakness in your hands that you were starting to have earlier in the day, or the previous day it was, rather, dissipate.
It's working.
You see the power when we work together?
This you is good. Work
together, with us. Together, we could be unstoppable.
No, don't let... He wants to be a dictator.
Together,
there's a bat.
We could preserve this civilization forever.
You don't want to do that.
You feel like there's one thing. You can almost pull from your inside on this magical object if you wanted to activate one final ability of it.
I pull.
Yeah.
Three... ghostly forms appear.
Excellent
arrayed
choice.
Around you.
No!
Woo!
No!
How many pectorals
no!
do I have? All of them. All of the pecs. Great.
Oh, you can finally see the three people who've been living in your head.
Oh, hello!
Wow.
The three of you get an internal clock. This effect is not going to last very long.
Okay.
Well, to describe myself quickly,
yeah.
So I am an incredibly short, bald human wearing sort of this scruffy wizard's robes. I do not look grand at all.
Do you have a moustache?
No.
I must know. Okay.
Brian?
I am a normal-sized lady with extremely extravagant hair, like all braided on top of my head, and similarly extravagant robes, and they are patterned with scrolls.
You know those ludicrous Russian statues? Like the truly, genuinely insane, a human body can't fit that much muscle mass on it.
Yeah.
That, clothes are for the weak... and I am going to immediately try and throttle Ben's character. If it's impossible, that's fine, but he's still going to continue trying to do that.
It works in that you can do it. It just doesn't seem to be having any impact. It's like you're sort of preventing him from talking, but you're not preventing him from breathing because he doesn't need to breathe
for all these years.
Charlatan. I will cast a spell at him
again. It sort of it has superficial effects without actually doing much of anything.
So a chilly hand clamps over your face. Get off
me! Get off me! Femi's like, well done.
And with our newly and very temporarily embodied team, before the rest of the priests from this particular temple rush upstairs and find one of their chief worshippers dead, this mysterious other person, you escape out the window.
Absolutely.
Their astral forms are still tied to the necklace and tied to you. And
we're wafting off.
You can end the effect when you want, so you can summon their bodies back into the necklace. It doesn't last very long anyway, so
I control this
to a degree. Like the rules for it are not very important because we've reached the end of the adventure.
But importantly, she hasn't banished us.
Guys, we became a class feature.
Yeah, we did become a class feature.
Yeah!
Okay, well, that's important. That's an important ending.
How exciting.
Okay. It's flavour for any potential future adventures.
Do you have
I don't think I'd run.
Do you have any idea how cathartic it is? Just being able to wrap my hands around that throat just once.
I hope you all enjoyed that one shot. Larry, I hope you had a good time joining us.
Great time.
I hope it's not too difficult an edit for you.
Yeah, me too.
But remember... it's now also your fault.
Yes.
If anyone wants to chat to me about this adventure or see anything I wrote or talk to me about running their own version, as I said, it's very easy to adapt it into your own system, your own setting, your own flavour, however you want, come chat to me on Discord.
Yep.
Thank you for joining us today, guys, and we'll be back presumably to our normal adventures next week.
Hey.
Bye.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by April Sumner. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at @TheRustyQuill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord via the website or on Reddit at r/RustyQuill. Thanks for listening.
A very good perspective.
14.
14.
Do it!
He's good. I don't want to high five his hand.
I'll
cancel his goodness. Oh, fine.
Do it!
Oh, charity! Oh, get it off. Go.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.